I wanted to tell you in Acts 3 and 4, it's a lot of reading, so I'm just going to kind of tell you about it. Acts 3 and 4, of course, this was where Peter and John were going for a prayer meeting. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about prayer, what it actually is going to do for you, how it can help you to accomplish the things that you want to do, how you can stand against the enemy and become victorious in prayer. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today, supernatural prayer. So Peter and John, of course, were coming in. This was Acts 3 and 4. And there was a man sitting there, and he was had been brought before the gate for over 40 years to beg for money because he couldn't stand on his feet. And he couldn't do anything normal that we would consider to be a normal thing. But Peter reached down, and he grabbed him by his hands. All of a sudden, the guy's looking at him, and Peter said, "Look on us." And, you know, he told him to look at him. And he's looking at him thinking, "Man, I'm going to get a good offering here. I've been begging for money. Here comes some money to me." And he looks at him, and he says, "I don't have any gold or silver to give you. But I do have I am filled with something." And now this is my interpretation, so you'll go back and find all the errors that I've made here. But anyway, he goes in and he says, "This is what I have to give you." And he pulls him up and said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." And the guy stood for a few minutes on his feet, and he's looking. All of a sudden, he began to realize that he could jump, he could shout. He began to grab Peter and John's hands and go into the presence, right into the temple, and just began to praise and worship God and thank God for what God had done. And so Peter saw an opportunity. You know, a lot of times when we have supernatural things happen through us, and I expect God to begin to use each one of us to begin to go into places and have supernatural things, supernatural events. All of a sudden, he spoke the word of God to those people. He said, "Oh, you know what? It's not just us." He began to tell them that it was through the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one they had rejected, but God is bringing to the forefront. God is saying, "Yes, I will work through my people. I will begin to do miraculous signs and wonders, and they will see that it's reality that they're talking about. It's not just words. It's not just things that are coming, but it is life. And God is bringing this life to you. He's bringing this life to me." And he's saying, "Will you walk in this way? Will you be obedient to my spirit? Will you walk with God and have him come through you? And if you allow that to happen, you will experience the supernatural presence of the living God. He's alive. He's not dead. He is calling you." And he's saying, "Life is here." And the same thing with Peter. Peter began to speak those words of life, and he began to talk to the crowd. And all of a sudden, you know, they couldn't believe it. You know, the leaders of the synagogue rushed down there, and they said, "Oh, man, they're telling him about the resurrection. We can't have this." And so they stopped them, and they began to arrest him. But you know what had happened? Already the word had went out. Already the word was experienced by the people that were there. And you know, there were over 5,000 men, just men alone, born again. Now you can imagine how many people were actually drawn in because of his words, because of the actions of the supernatural God. Supernatural God is grabbing a hold of us and saying, "Now is your time." Why? How are we going to do it just exactly the way they did? The Sanhedrin, the people in authority, and they had a lot of authority in their lives. They could do things. They could just throw them out of the temple. They could ostracize them. They could have had them whipped. There was all kinds of things they could have done to those men. And they stood before this threat. And oftentimes we are faced with threat. You can't talk about Jesus. No, what's the matter with you? They just got through talking about our president. And, you know, you'd think, well, okay, that we're going to a higher power. But no, a lot of times we are not allowed to even speak what we have on the inside of us, what's making us live, what's giving us life, what's motivating us to have a smile on our face instead of being worried and under the pressure of the world today. God is taking us into the place of life. He is giving us. And so Peter and them stood before that Sanhedrin, and they said, no, we cannot. And of course, the Sanhedrin, they were afraid that there was going to be a riot if they did anything to the guys. They had just done a miracle that everybody had seen. And so they stood there and they looked at him and they said, well, wait a minute, what can we do? And so they said, okay, well, we'll just threaten them. We'll threaten them. And we'll tell them if they ever speak in the name of Jesus, if they ever tell anybody about Jesus again, about him being alive, about him being willing to do these kind of works through them or in their lives, if they have that need, God is willing to reach out and touch people. And he is willing to touch the lives of those around us. And so Peter looked at him and said, no, it would be better for us to, would it be better? Now you just kind of put it as a question. Would it be better to obey man, you, or should we obey God? You tell me what we should do. We're going to speak the name of Jesus. And he walked out. And I mean, they didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to do. So they were confronted with this fact. Now Peter and John, the first thing they did was go back to their group, go back to their people that knew how to pray, that knew what it meant to walk in unity. And God's calling the body of Christ, and he's saying, unify, unify. Don't allow division between you. Stand in one place, and believe me, allow the love of God to rise up within you and wash away any offense, anything that people have done wrong, and people have done wrong things to us. But God says, put it aside. Amen. Lay it down. Amen. Forget about it. I've forgotten yours. You can forget theirs. Let it wash over you. You're going to get washed clean. And so Peter went to these people, and they got into unity. They began to pray. And they began to speak about who God was. They began to talk about his mercies and his power, his ability. And then they said, Father God, help us to be bold. Help us to step out. Help us to be in that place. And that's what God is calling us to do. He's teaching us how to pray, how to touch the living God. How did they know they had touched God? Well, for one thing, the whole building shook. Now, that might not have affected people from, you know, California maybe, but here, you shake a building, you've got their attention. So, anyway, they were there. They were finding out what it meant to have that supernatural ability. And all of a sudden, all kinds of things began to happen, left and right. All of a sudden, supernatural things were happening. The ability of God was beginning to flow. The mercies of God were beginning to be seen. Who God really is was beginning to come to the forefront. And so that's what we'll be talking about this morning, about supernatural, effective prayer, prayer that really reaches the throne of God. We're not talking about just going through a motion. We're talking about touching God in a way that will bring his presence where you are, bring his ability before you. It will allow you to flow in a place of power and victory. And that's what these people were looking for. They were looking for God to move and have his way. I'm telling you, God does not want sickness. God does not want lack. God does not want disease. God does not want fear. God is above these things. And he's saying, I'm holding this life before you. Will you walk in it? He says to choose life. If you choose this life, you are going to see him. So I've got seven steps, and I'm going to try to get through every one of them. Hallelujah. Seven steps that we can do to get some answered prayer. The first one is Joshua 1:8. Almost everybody knows this. And we talked about it last week. So the first step is to be specific and stand on God's promises. Be specific. You may be praying for someone. You say, well, bless them, God. Bless them. Well, that's good. I like blessings. But if they're walking around with a limp, get specific. Exactly. What do they need? Right. What is supposed to be taking place? Get specific about this thing. And that's why he said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, and this is the New Living, it says, study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then, now this is the kicker, only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to succeed. He does not want us to be in the back room going, well, I wish God would show up. No, he wants to show up more than we want him there. He is the God who is alive, and he's saying, I have life, and I'm giving this life to you. It was the same way Jesus fights. He fights with the word. And we talked about that last week. The fact that God is going to move through us. We're going to do battle with the devil. And we have to be aware that the devil is there. He is trying to stop us. But we are the ones who are called to walk in life. We are the ones that have been given the greater one on the inside of us. And we begin to understand what the word means. When it says that he will come, if we draw near unto him, what's he going to do? Draw near unto us. He will be in our presence. He will be with us. He will show himself strong. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to walk in that place of victory. He wants us to experience that life. So we need to understand that we have to know what the word is saying. We have to be standing on his promises if we're going to go forward in these things. The next step is this. You must ask God for what you want. What do you want? You know, a lot of times we spend a lot of time before God never bringing specifics before him. What do we want? It says this in Matthew 7:7 in the New King James. It says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. There is no stronger way God could say that. He couldn't, there's no way out of this. He will do it. It says, and it will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks will find it. And if you go to him and the person who is knocking and trying to come into a place with God, he said that it's going to be opened unto him. Yeah. He said the way is going to be open. We are going to find the living God. We have to be specific in what we're asking for. And if we know those things, if we're aware of where we're going, I was thinking of the time when I was going to come back here and help Pastor Tom begin to put this church together. And, you know, I didn't have a place to live. I had a wife and two children, no place to take them. We were going under the bridge, you know. And if you know anything about my wife, I would have been going there alone. But anyway, we were trusting God. We were coming to a place where I'd quit my job. I'd sold my home. I said, oh, well, everything is this place is locked shut before me. Have you ever been faced something that's impossible? I checked my cash reserve. It was not going to help. Trust me. So we were not banking on what we had. we were banking on the living God. We were trusting him and thinking, well, God, you can do it, whatever it is. And I began to make calls, and it began to open before me. The job that I had before, the guy that was running that place said, come on back. You want a job? Come on back. You know, I don't know why I fooled him. But anyhow, so he opened that up. It was there. And I made another call, and there was a home about to go back to the bank. They said, well, we've had some sickness in the family. We can't afford the home anymore. And I said, I'm here to help. And so we moved right back into the same home that we had lived in before. And so God was so merciful. Amen. He knows how to put things together for us. Yes. He knows how to take impossible situations, yes, things that look like you can't, yes, fix them. You, amen, can't do anything. It's a living God we serve. Yes. It's a God who's alive. He will take us through, and all of a sudden we'll find victory, yes, facing us. And we say, well, wow, God is doing the work. It's not us.
That's right.
So we need to seek the living God. If we come into that place and ask him what we want, believe me, I was very specific. Not a cardboard box, please. Right. I want to live in a nice home. And you know, God knows how to do it. Right. He knows how to take us from the place where we are just dependent on him. And we step into that place and we say, you know what? This is awesome. God has put this together. You know, God knows how to take us from deposits that looks like, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. This family is going to be hurting. So let's go to number three, positive in your thinking. Be positive. You know, you have to let every thought and desire affirm what you have asked for. Now, this is where your battle begins to happen. You begin to think, well, maybe I should stay here. We have an apartment. We don't want to, you know, get out into something that's really not real. I'm going in as a man of God who believes God. How can I say I believe God? And I really don't have any place. I mean, they're saying, you know, it looks like we're just going to, you know, let you take it back over if you want to, because we're about to give it to the bank, and the bank's going to take it back over. I said, well, you know, the devil will come to you. The devil is very sneaky, and a lot of times you can see how he battled Jesus. Sometimes he actually takes scripture and wants to twist it so that it fits into his little plan that he's got together. But we need to rightly divide the word. Yes. That's why we're studying God's word. Yes. That's why we're getting the word inside of us, yes, so that we can recognize, yes, hey, even though that is a scripture, and he took Jesus up on the top of a temple and he told him, hey, just jump off, you know, because you're not even going to get your foot hurt. Don't worry. You won't stumble over a stone. You are not going to be hurt. It's going to happen. Oh, yeah, because you're the Son of God. And he didn't really believe it. So Jesus turned around and looked at him and said, yeah, that the Bible does say that, or the scriptures say that. And they have our Bible. But the scriptures do say that, but also it says we're not supposed to test the Lord our God. We're not supposed to put him to the test. He knew where to draw that line. He knew because he understood what the word had to say about his situation. We need to understand. Does Jesus say that our bodies are healed? Yes, it does. Hallelujah. It's not, you know, it's not an anti-aging thing, obviously, but it is something that comes in and it will help us to walk in the victory in life. Sickness and disease are not supposed to be on our bodies. We're supposed to walk in victory. We're supposed to walk in life. And God has called us to that life. Why do we know that? Because it says it repeatedly in the Word. It is confirmed from one end to the other. We begin to look in the Word and we say, oh, by his stripes, I am healed. Jesus bore bore my sicknesses. He carried my pains. I'm not supposed to be in this place. I'm not supposed to walk in this kind of life. We're supposed to have victory. And victory is called to us. And it's saying, well, be ready to fight. We have to fight. Sometimes we have to do battle with the devil. And we're not supposed to put our fists up and begin to fight. It is something we do in the spirit. We stay in the spirit. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's coming with lies. He's coming with lies to try to change you, to understand. Now, it was different in the Passion Translation. It says this. It says, your great enemy walks about. Your great enemy, the devil. Now, he is an enemy of ours. We need to realize that. I know some people that think, well, God and the devil, you know, there's the yin and the yang, and it's okay. It's not okay. What he says to you is a lie. It is deception. He's coming to try to talk you in to being in a place that you're not supposed to be, in a place lower, in a place under, in a place where sickness and disease can walk over you, where lack and poverty can grip you and hold you from being able to do the things that you've been called to do. He's saying, stop that. Stop that. Be ready for him. Be ready when he comes. Hold up that shield. Get ready with the word of God. And when the devil comes, you begin to speak the word of God. He's saying to us, we are the higher ones. We are the ones with the greater one on the inside of us. We haven't seen it on the outside, but we are beginning to manifest what God said is true. It is true. It is true. And we have to stand against the lies of the enemy. We have to realize that he's coming with a negative report. He's going to say to you, do you feel that? And I've felt it before. I've just been walking down the hall, and all of a sudden, my knee is hurting. I'm so, what? I'm hobbling here, you know. And the devil, oh, yeah, oh, that's it. Look how old you are, dear God, man. Are you kidding? No, you got to resist that. You resist the enemy, and I resisted him. I said, wait a minute. That I don't care. It is not God for me to walk in that place. It is a place above we're called to. We resist those things, even though we're feeling them, even though the word is there in the back of your mind. Something about, like, the guy didn't show up with a pitchfork and a red tail. He doesn't do that. He comes to you with insidious ways of talking. He wants insidious. I would never use that with the kids. I'm sorry. He tries to stop us. He tries to speak death to us. And we can take the step and walk beyond that. We can walk in a place of victory. We can walk in a place of life. We can, I've had the report from the doctor who said, you've got cancer. Now, the C word is bad. I don't know if you've experienced it, but you're looking at a doctor and you're thinking, uh-oh, this is not good. This could be permanent. And I mean, the devil wants to, with that report, he wants fear to come. He wants you to begin to say, well, what have I got to do? How do I put this thing together? But you know, God is the one who is above these things. He is the God who said, I will not allow sickness and disease to control you. I'm not going to let you walk under that thing. You can take steps against it. You can stand. And I had to listen to the word. I mean, the word, I just took the word and I said, that's all I'm going to listen to. That's all I'm going to speak. It's all I'm going to hear. It's what I need in this time. And so I took the word of God into my being. I'm telling you, sometimes I've been to Bible school. I knew the healing scriptures. I knew them. I knew what to say. And I did say them, but I let it come to me. I let it come in and saturate me so that when I was poked by the enemy, what came out was the love of God and the Word of God. The Word is coming. The Word is coming. It's not going to be this way with me. It's not going to be. I'm not going to stand under the place of the enemy's control. The enemy wants to control us. He might be doing it with strife in the home. He might be doing, you know, the devil's got all kinds of tricks that besides sickness and disease, poverty, lack, things, especially in this time. I know there are people that are fighting and they're saying, well, how am I going to put this together? How am I going to make this work? You're not. But the God, you serve is. He will make it work for you. He is calling you into a higher place. As we step into a higher place, we resist the enemy. We say, you cannot have me. You cannot control my life. I'm drawing a line and I'm standing in it. I'm standing in that victory. I'm standing in life. I've been given it. It is mine. It is freely mine, and I won't let it be taken from me. That's the tenacity we have to have. We have to realize that we've got a great enemy that's trying to take us. He's trying to drive us down. He's trying to control us and put us in a place that is under instead of over. But I'm telling you, God has called us to the higher place. He has called us. Now, number four is this. You have to guard your mind. And that's what we've been talking about. 1 Corinthians, I'm giving you these scriptures so that you know I'm not just making this stuff up. It's for real. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, it says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, in other words, not in the natural, but mighty in God through pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm telling you, God has called us. Well, you know, if we're in our natural thinking, we a lot of times will allow those thoughts to come. And we'll say, well, yeah, I know, we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. You know, that's a lot of times that's what the devil is telling us. We say, no. Yeah, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to help this body along. I'm going to do the things I need to do to make it successful, to reach a successful end of this thing. But the weapons of our warfare are not just natural weapons. We don't just pull out a real sword and go to work, you know, on the devil. He's wanting us to resort to things in the natural, but we have to be connected in the supernatural. And then we can do whatever we need to do. What's going to help us? If we need insulin taken every day, don't just throw the insulin away. Stand before God and make a connection to God. And next time you take insulin, you say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Every time you do that, and all of a sudden you'll begin to notice, I need less of this. I need less. I need, what's going on? And all of a sudden you can then throw it away because supernatural intervention has taken place for you. God wants us. He doesn't want us to do things just because other people have done them. He wants us to do them because we have revelation, knowledge that is coming from the Word of God. Once we get that on the inside of us, then we can do whatever we want. We can step into the places. You know, I was just breaking out of this thing and I was feeling pretty good about myself. I was believing God. I had the big C word hanging over me, and all of a sudden my wife walks up to me and says, oh, by the way, I have the same problem. I'm like, oh, flush. You know, we don't have to be flushed. We can hear the Word of God, even though we're struggling. You know, there may be, well, what's the Word of God say? I'm saying, well, wait a minute. What does the Word of God say? And then, man, we really needed the Word of God. The Word of God needed to be working in her. The Word of God needed to be working in me because I'm an authority in her life. So I need to stand with her in a place of victory in life. And if we, as we do that, then the devil doesn't have a chance. He does not have a chance in your life if you will do what we're talking about. We've got to take these things. We've got to guard our minds. We need to realize that the enemy is there. He's seeking you out. Why? Because you are a Christian. Because you have brought yourself into a place of forever. You have been brought into a high place. And he is talking to you. He is gripping you. And he wants to say to you, you are not going to make it. But the Word of God says we will be successful. We will succeed in all that we put our hand to. Everything that we put our hand to. It looks hard. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's difficult to stand in that place. But as we step in, as we begin to go, as we begin to understand what the Word has to say, there's a guard that goes around our minds. And when this negative stuff tries to come into us, we say, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Word of God says, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. The Word of God says he sent his Word and healed me. Oh, man, we are full of the life of God. We have the greater one, and we can resist. We can guard our minds. And number five is this. I need to get through this thing. I think it's saying zero on me up here. But anyhow, number five says, meditate on God's promises.
Yes.
This is really, sometimes this is very difficult to do, especially if you're feeling things in your body. If you're feeling these things, you meditate. Usually meditation is where you're just kind of mumbling the word. You're just saying the word over and over. And it says, in Proverbs 4, it says, my child, that's us, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Do not lose sight of them. See, the devil will try to take those words and twist them a little bit. He just if he can get a little tweak in there, he can keep us from having his words inside. You'll be like Peter stepping out of the boat, walking on water. He was walking, and all of a sudden he looked at the waves and the wind. Why? Why would he? The devil is very insidious. There it goes again. Sorry. The devil is tricky. He tries to keep us. He tries to stop us from walking in the ways of life. God has given us life. He has given us victory. And we need to have that as our focus. That's what we are to focus on. And if we focus on that, then when the enemy comes to us and said, you're not going to make it doing this. You're not going to make it. He's loud. He gets our attention. He tries to stop us. But if we take a step back and say, well, what's the Word of God say? I'm going to keep that in my focus. I'm not going to lose sight of the Word of God. I'm going to find out, because once they penetrate deep into my heart, they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Everything about us is going to be the healing, health, the victory of God. God wants us to walk in victory. He wants us to experience his life. Amen. It is the very life of God he's called us to. To me, that is amazing. God loves me enough to say those words to me and really mean them.
Yes.
He knows who I am, and he's still doing that. Amazing. So we need to, number six is we need to thank God for the answer.
Yes.
A lot of times we pray, and you know, especially when you're in a desperate situation, you want to pray, but man, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes you think, man, I can't get there. Oh, man. And then all these things are coming to your mind and stuff is, so you have to push those things back. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So we have to take what we need to God. I needed healing. I needed victory. I needed life to flow in my home. It needed to happen. And yet, I came to a place where I wasn't worried about it. And, you know, people look at me and think, man's just a little insane there. No, it's the way God is. He wants to take us into that place. He wants us to be free from worry. Yes. We're supposed to walk in the victory, in the life that we're called to, and we're supposed to express that to those around us. So the last one. Okay, I made it to the seventh one. Make every prayer a statement of faith. We need to have that faith. We need to walk in that place of victory. We need to experience that life. And so we have to pray, not, God, I've got cancer. God, I'm feel sick. God, did you see my husband, what he, or my wife, what they said? Did you see that? No, you got to get on the other side of that. And it says this in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And this is the Passion Bible, the Passion Translation. It says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? We know we've experienced them. I encourage you to surrender yourself to God to be his sacred living sacrifices. And live in holiness, experiencing all that delight his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Isn't it awesome? We can just live the life God's intending us to live. And if we do that, we are worshiping him with our very lives, with who we are, how we walk with other people, how we speak to them. What do we say? What kind of life can we bring? Why? We can do all of these things because the greater one is inside of us. And we have stepped into a place of being like God. He is bringing these things inside of us. He's bringing change. He's teaching us how to take those things that would try to stop us and lay them aside, push them away, and take up life. Yes. Life. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we love God. And it goes on to say, stop imitating the deals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Yeah. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes.
Amen. Yeah,
isn't that amazing? We can walk in this place. This is what God's speaking to us. He wants us to have that on the inside. He's not saying this is something that's so hard to do, you can't do it. He's saying you have the ability to step in and you get to walk in this supernatural place. You get to experience his blessing and his goodness. Hallelujah. God is good to us, isn't he? He is so good. I'm telling you, God loves to take us into the higher places, into the realms of the supernatural.